From the land of Grand Theatre University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 28th day of April, 2022. I'm Illinois Extension's Tut Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Matt Bennett. He's at agmarket.net out of Windsor, Illinois. A bit later in the program, Mike Tenner will be here from T-Storm Weather. That's at tstorm.net. And along the way, we'll take a look at insect pests with field crops entomologist Nick Sider from University of Illinois Extension, and it all happens on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
May corn settled $8.16. That's up a half for the day. July at 8.13 and a half, a penny and a quarter higher. In December at 7.51 and three quarters, up 2 and a quarter. May soybeans down 20 at $17.06 and a half. In November, down 3 and three quarters for the new crop at $15.21. The bean meal futures down 10.80. Bean oil futures up 2.80. And wheat futures finished the soft red down 5 and a half cents at $10.85 and three quarters. And the hard red July at $11.41 and a quarter, down 12 and three quarters of a cent. Live cattle futures in Chicago, $1.12 and a half lower. The feeders were up $1.62 and a half, and hogs were up 62 and a half cents. Matt Bennett now joins us from agmarket.net. He's on the tractor this afternoon there in Windsor, Illinois. Tell me about conditions you've been planting in.
You know, we started last Friday. Things look pretty good. I would say conditions were fantastic. Friday and Saturday, we were able to get a fair amount in the ground, and then got a little shower there on Sunday. And so we had anywhere from, a tenth to maybe 3,500. And so it wasn't enough to hurt things by any means, but as cold as what it was, it took a little while to dry out. So we're in a situation now where it's working like a dream. I had a little shower this morning. Ran out and went to town and ate lunch, came back and able to get right back at it. So it really is working up really nice the way the forecast looks. We need to try to get everything done we can here today.
Are there many in your area that are going at this time?
More every day. There's no question that it's been, the ones that started, for instance, last week, probably were on pattern tiled ground. Definitely were able to get on it a couple, 3 days earlier. When we were planting, there's some ground close, not too far from us, that doesn't have tile, that is always fairly wet, and there's actually a little water standing still for them. So, it's easy to figure out why they didn't get, was able to get on that particular farm. But, for us, I guess, we're just drying out. For instance, we finished up around our main farm. We're able to move west on the west side of Lake Shelbyville, and most of that over there over the weekend didn't get any rain, up to maybe a tenth at the most. And so all this ground has been working like an absolute dream. And so if we could just get two or three more days, we could wrap things up for the most part. But the forecast doesn't look like that's going to happen.
Yeah, one other subject before we get into the markets. GPS units, I think particularly off of John Deere tractors and machinery, have been a hot item, literally. Some stolen here in Champaign County. I know my home county over near Springfield in Logan County. And I've seen on Twitter out west that they've been moving. You've been, I suppose, trying to make sure that you secure those things because they're pretty expensive.
Yeah, times have changed for sure. There's been a lot of issues, especially since people not being able to get them, especially with, John Deere phased out one of their types of globes here a couple falls ago. And so then last spring, a lot of people weren't able to get a hold of their normal globes. Now, our groundworking guys typically run on GPS, and last spring we actually weren't able to do so. And so one of our globes was outdated as far as that was concerned. And so what we had to do is do it the old fashioned way, God forbid, but we're able to get by, but had a little bit of pushback. So this year we actually were able to get, the globe finally showed up. We actually had that thing on order for over a year before we finally received it.
Yeah, so make sure that you're securing those at night out there in rural America, because it could be tough, and the planters just won't work without them sometimes. So that would be a very, very difficult issue if it were to arise. Now tell me about the marketplace. I've been out for a week. What's happened?
You know, it's been interesting. For instance, this week, a couple of days ago, you know, we heard some whispers that China just came out and said, you know what, I don't know if we're going to be buying corn in large quantities from this point forward, you know, in the marketing year. And then you come in here yesterday and supposedly, you know, there's whispers that there might be some purchases, and then come in here this morning and there actually is corn purchases of a million tons, which, like I said, just earlier this week, they said there wasn't going to be any of those show up. So in all honesty, I think the market would have been better off if we wouldn't have gotten those announcements, because it seems like it's almost a kiss of death anymore. Anytime we get an announcement that China's bought corn, it's been kind of a counterproductive type thing. So regardless, today, I mean, there's several things to talk about. It's not just the fact that China bought corn, but, you know, you look at, for instance, here in the U.S., there are some areas that are starting to roll, but there's a lot of areas that are sitting. You know, it's been fairly cold, fairly wet for a lot of people. You get farther west and they're still in an extremely bad drought. That drought area is shrinking, thank goodness. But, you know, some of the forecasters we watch say that that will be expanding again. So, you know, let's hope that isn't the case. But then the last thing I'd like to talk about is this safrinha crop. You know, the dry season has set in a little earlier, you know, than what it typically does. And a lot of that has to do with that La Nina holding on. It's something we've kind of talked about all winter as being a possibility. Nobody really knew how it would manifest itself. But given what's going on in the Black Sea region, I think that this safrinha crop, if it's not what a lot of folks say it is, which it had been forecasted to be a monster just 3 or 4 weeks ago, it doesn't look like that's going to be the case anymore. And I think it's going to be nothing but supportive for this corn market.
The safrinha crop, of course, the second crop corn in Brazil. Have you been watching the value of the U.S. dollar, and does it matter very much at this point?
Yeah, we've been watching it closely, Todd, and I'll tell you, it's raced its, you know, 20-year highs. You know, typically the dollar isn't exactly supportive towards our commodities. It makes it a little tougher for others in the world, you know, to step in and buy our commodities, but there's a lot of theories out there this time around that that may not be the case, especially given the performance of our commodities as this dollar has rallied. So at this stage of the game, I would tell anybody that's listening to be very cautious to make any assumptions based upon things that we've seen happen before, because there's no doubt that this market is acting in a different fashion than what we've previously experienced. Now, I'm not suggesting that commodities are going to skyrocket, but there's no doubt that there's reason to believe that you could see the dollar continue up. You know, it could stay strong for some time, especially after taking out that resistance, first of all. But second of all, don't assume that our commodities won't be able to rally as well, because there's a lot of issues as far as the global feed grain supply.
What are your expectations by the time we get to next week on Monday? I know it's Thursday still, for the USDA crop progress report. It's not been showing much progress yet, and we'll be into the month of May next week.
Yeah, I don't think that you're going to show much again. I think that, you know, you went from 4 to 7% this week. I think you could probably make a case for getting up to maybe 12, 13%, but you're probably going to be running, you know, less than half of what the normal progress is. And so, you know, it's going to be very important that we don't stay wet for 2 weeks like some are suggesting. I did see a forecast this morning that hinted that we could be in a cooler, wetter pattern out through the end of the month of May. Now, I hope that isn't the case, but I think that's part of the reason why a lot of folks are pushing really hard this week just to get anything done that they can, given the time in the year it is. It's not super late yet, but you get 3 or 4 weeks of wet weather, and there's no question that we'll be in a bit of a bind.
It doesn't take very long to get a couple of weeks down the road, and if you don't have enough suitable days in those weeks, that'll be tough for the crop, and yield begins to drop off fairly quickly for corn, in fact.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely want to get the corn in the ground, but, I mean, shoot, most of us have wanted to get the beans in the ground as well, you know, early on. The problem is that not everyone's got a couple of planters to run. We've been fortunate. We got a little smaller planter that we run in soybeans and got a guy to run it. And so the only problem is having enough rear ends to put in all the seats, you know, to be able to keep everyone running. And fortunately, we've been able to do that here this week. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how long that happens. I guess my personal thought is that Friday, Saturday, Sunday is probably going to be pretty quiet around most areas of central Illinois.
Hey, you stay safe and secure that machinery.
Absolutely. Thanks, Todd.
That's Matt Bennett. He is with agmarket.net. Well, it's awful good to be back in the saddle after a week away from the radio station. Thank you for bearing with me on that earlier today. In fact, I made a trip to DACC, that's the Danville Area Community College, right there on the Illinois-Indiana line in Danville, for a drone flying contest that was set up by Extension and 4-H. I caught up with Myla Monroe. She is the Extension Youth Educator in the Ford, Iroquois, and Champaign Counties area. She helped to put together this contest, and I asked her to explain why.
So today is our culminating event for a 4-H Drones and Agriculture unit that we wrote for high school ag teachers. So it's 4-H in the Ag and Natural Resources program areas of our unit. Worked with Brandy Marin here at Danville Area Community College, and we started writing the curriculum in November of last year. And we sent it out as a pilot, and we had 11 schools participate in the pilot program this year.
Rantoul High School from here in Champaign County, Illinois, was one of those participating schools, and the students in the high school ag machinery classes came to DACC today to test their skills at piloting or navigating a drone. Tristan Cravens from Rantoul, he lives in Gifford, Illinois, was one of the participants.
We just had a big class and we learned a lot about the drones, and we thought it was a good opportunity to come and try to test our skills for it.
For his part, Tristan thinks this could be a valuable experience as he moves forward towards a career.
I thought about computer science and GIS, which would be part of it, be drones and all that. Definitely a good part of it, especially this class has taught me a lot about it too. So
taught him a lot about it, and he had some fun too. I asked Tristan what his job was for the day.
I was the navigator with the iPad, trying to guide my friend Colin through it.
And he didn't do a very good job?
He didn't do a very good job. I did a very good job.
Too much fun for some high schoolers, but important as it relates to the labor force in the East Central Illinois, across the Midwest and across the nation, I would think, as it relates to agriculture. There just is a shortage, says Myla Monroe of drone pilots.
So it was identified as a need from area businesses here in Vermilion County that they were lacking employees who had skills and the know-how to fly drones. And then we also identified that high school ag teachers can teach about drones, but there wasn't a standardized curriculum. So we took that opportunity and made something for both of them.
Myla Monroe is with University of Illinois Extension and is one of many Extension employees that helped put together today's drone contest that took place at the Danville Area Community College in Danville. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org. There you'll find our daily programming, the Closing Market Report, and our weekly programming, Commodity Week, which we'll record this afternoon and post to the website this evening. You'll be able to hear it tomorrow on our home station and on many of these radio stations over the weekend. Our panelists this week will include Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, Wayne Nelson from L&M Commodities, and Dave Chatterton of Strategic Farm Marketing. It's Commodity Week, recorded each and every Thursday as part of our programming from here at Illinois Public Media. Now let's catch up with Nick Sider. He's an extension entomologist for field crops at the University of Illinois. And I'm wondering, Nick, now that we have you with us, what you think about these cool conditions around planting time and what it might mean for insect pests.
When you have those cool temperatures at, or especially just after planting, you know, the delay in development that results from that leaves that plant in kind of a vulnerable stage for a longer period of time. And so this can actually increase the potential for damage from early season insect pests, things like wireworms, seed corn maggot, white grub, black cutworm, and armyworms.
And what should a farmer do if they notice insect damage early and temperatures remain cool?
The first thing to do if you're in this situation where you have cool temperatures and you're starting to see insect damage out there is to scout and survey the severity of that damage. You also want to identify the insect that's causing it, and depending on the insect species you have, you may or may not be able to do anything about it. For instance, if you have a caterpillar pest, a black cutworm, or an army worm, you can control those with a foliar insecticide application. However, with most of your below-ground feeding pests, things like wireworms and seed corn maggot, there's not going to be a lot you can do after you've planted it. It becomes a replant decision process at that point.
Also, one other question, will insecticide treatments help?
Seed treatments can be an option, especially if you're in a situation where you have an increased risk of early season insect pests. For instance, if you have a history of wireworm problems in a field. One thing to point out here, some of the conditions that can lead to this delayed plant development can also reduce the efficacy of a seed treatment, particularly if you have a lot of water out in the system, if you've got wet conditions early that sort of washes that material away. So often the best scenario we can have, the best way to eliminate or at least mitigate the potential for early season insect damage is to plant into good conditions. You know, plant when you have sufficient soil temperatures to get that plant up and developing quickly and to get a good successful start to the growing season.
Thanks, Nick. Nick Sider is an extension entomologist for field crops here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Mike Tenera from tstorm.net now joins us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast for the growing regions across the planet. Let's start in the United States, Mike. Who's wet, who's moving, and who's going to be wetter in the coming week?
Well, North Dakota is clearly the wettest. They've already had their wettest April in more than 128 years, and there's a lot more rain on the way for the state over the next few days. So it will be by far the wettest in more than 128 years across the state, and that will be leading right into planting season in May. Once we get into May, there's more systems out there, and the difference between the systems that are coming up and the ones that have happened to this point is that they're going to be more widespread, and they're going to start including some of the key areas of the Corn Belt, the Mid-South, and even the drought-stricken areas of the Central and Southern Plains. And the interesting thing to note, Todd, is that while North Dakota is having this crazy wet April, it's equally as dry in Kansas. They're going to go down with number two or number three driest in more in 128 years, only being surpassed by 1989 and possibly a year in the early 1960s. So this is a very unusual setup where essentially the weather pattern has not been changing very much. It's leaving the central and southern plains very dry. It's leaving the northern plains very wet, but now everybody's going to see rain. Now, the difference between the upcoming rainfall setup and ones in years past is that this one is going to be pretty widespread. We're not looking for extremely heavy totals in any particular location, but what we are looking for is a high volume of water. And what I mean by that is this. Let's say everybody in the central United States got 1 inch of water. You'd multiply 1 inch of water by tens of thousands of square miles, and that would give you the amount of water that's falling. Well, we're essentially looking at 1 to 3, maybe even 4 inches of rain over most states in the central U.S. And so we have this really big volume of water that's coming up, and that's going to make everybody pretty wet, and it's going to cause all the rivers to rise across the central United States. And this is heading right into the beginning of planting season. Ideally, we would have dry and mild weather at this time of the year, but we're looking at wet and even slightly cool weather on top of that. This pattern is not going to break until possibly 10 to 14 days out, but once we get 10 to 14 days out, the potential issue is that the warm-up is happening because of another system that approaches from the west. So, Todd, once you put all this together, we're essentially looking at some planting problems going forward. They're certainly going to be taking place in the Dakotas, and they more than likely will be expanding across the Corn Belt with time. And this will put a lot of pressure on corn producers to get that crop in on time. And it also will be doing the same thing for spring wheat producers in the Dakotas.
Turn your attention now to the corn crop in Brazil, the safrinha or second crop corn. Are there concerns for it?
Well, the dry season started early and is going to continue now that we're in it. So essentially, the month of April averages around 4 to 4.5 inches in the key state of Mato Grosso. But they're going to go down as the number two driest since 1979 for the month. The months prior were only seasonably wet, so you can make an argument that it's too dry in Mato Grosso, which is the number one producer, accounting for about 55% of that crop. As we move forward, rainfall typically diminishes very rapidly through the month of May, to the point that we expect no rain by the last week of the month, and then that lasts for about 3 to 4 months, with rains not returning until late September and usually October. But essentially, it's already started. We might see a few storms next week, but nothing very organized. And essentially, that crop's going to have to ride out with whatever water it has, and that's going to be the end of it for at least the northern 75 to 80% of corn in Brazil. The southern areas have been pretty wet to this point in the season, and they're going to stay wet with another rain event next week. But essentially, this very sharp dividing line between good rains and not very good rains is what's going to close out their season as they move through next month.
Mike, I know you do a lot of work in this area. Can you talk about potential yield for that crop?
Well, if you look at what the USDA is using for second crop corn, and they put out a variety of reports where you can basically infer the yield that they're developing to make their total corn production number for Brazil, they're using a yield that's pretty low for the second crop. And in fact, it's lower than any of the last five growing seasons. And because of that, it's going to be pretty challenging to have the total corn number drop dramatically just because of the yield that they're using is so low. I mean, even if you look at what happened back in 2018, this season is arguably similar to that one in some regards, though you could even make the argument that 2018 was drier at this point than it is right now. And their yield was actually a little bit higher than what the USDA used in their April WASD report. And because of that, even though there certainly is going to be some type of yield-reducing problem there, it might not be the type of situation where we saw earlier in the year with soybeans, where they started out with a nice normal soybean number, but we saw there was a drought coming, and then you put the two together and you could clearly see that if the drought continued, you'd have a big production number loss. This story is a little different, where it might be a little bit challenging to significantly drop those numbers just from the low number that they're starting at.
Let's come back now to the Northern Hemisphere. Are there things you're following?
Well, it's just been cool across the Northern Hemisphere. For whatever reason, we have this polar air mass up in the Arctic, and it's pretty widespread. It continues to drop southward into Europe, into Russia, into China, into the U.S. And it's been affecting the key grain and oilseed areas, and it doesn't look like that's going to change anytime real soon. Maybe 10 to 14 days out, we'll see some improvements, but for whatever reason, we're just in a cool period for the Northern Hemisphere, and it's going to take a little bit to get out of this. That's not an ideal setup for corn or sunflower planting across Europe and Ukraine or Russia. And even for China, you'd like to see it dry and mild at this time of the year, because essentially everybody wants the same thing at the start of the season, which is dry and mild weather, and then followed by cool weather and lots of rain. We're kind of starting out with cool weather and or a lot of rain, depending on the location.
Hey, thank you, Mike.
Yep, great being here.
That's Mike Tenura. He's with T-Storm Weather at tstorm.net. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media.